fighting for America.
With sincere appreciation to Kevin Miller for your extraordinary efforts to help the Boise Rescue Mission with Miller's Mission. You're the hero for all of us in the nonprofit world, but particularly for the Boise Rescue Mission.
Fighting for Idaho.
What you do is not just highlight giving for a one moment in time, but you stress to make giving part of your life.
Fighting for you.
You'll never know, Kevin, how much I love you. So take our Kevin away.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, everybody. Kevin Miller live from Miller's Mission, the Walmart at Garrity and Franklin, benefiting our friends at the Boise Rescue Mission. One person who is always up, always fired up, ready to go, our great friend Jason. Once again, we are here with another adventure. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good to have you with us here. So tell us a little bit about what you do at the Rescue Mission.
You know, my role, Kevin, I'm the Vice President of Development, which means I help raise the food and the money for the organization. I get to communicate to our community how much we appreciate them, educate people about the services provided by the Rescue Mission. And again, just appreciate friends like you that are really stepping up.
So you're on the streets selling.
Well, I hadn't thought about it that way, but yeah, in different words.
And how do you do that when you're most people sell, as Brad Little likes to say, Kevin, you're the best soap salesman I know. Well, he said I'm a soap salesman. He didn't say I'm the best. However, when you go to people that are so focused on making payroll, world domination, it's a very different world than what you live in, sir.
Well, it is. I think we all have that firm grip of routine on our minds. You know, busy schedules and got to pick up the kids and got to pay the bills. And we forget about the community.
You took home a carload of turkeys last night to drop off at the mission.
You know, that was incredible. Day one here at Miller's Mission, 45 turkeys. And if you think about
actually,
it.
Actually, 50.
Yeah, 50 turkeys, my gosh. Yeah. What's 50 times 4? That's 200. If you figure there's an average family of 4 people,
right.
200 people just got blessed for the holidays. You are an ambassador of goodwill, Kevin Miller.
Well, look, Jason, I've got to repay for a lot of sins that I've done and that I'm going to do. So, but it really, it shows that folks want to give, and this is the easy time, but when you go into a business and you say, hey, I'm Jason with the Boise Rescue Mission, and everybody wants to do good things, what do you say to convince someone to have a day or a media partner, which you have several, you guys do such a great job, or, you know, a tire shop or something like that to give back even while they're trying to continue to survive?
You know, the only thing I'm doing is telling the story of those less fortunate, those who are sleeping in cars, those who are sleeping in Walmart stores, veterans that are camping out in their tents and living there literally for years. I'm just telling the story and saying, hey, look at the mission. We're here to break that cycle of homelessness. We want to help them get back on their feet, equip them with life skills and work skills, share the gospel.
Well, let me, and you shared this yesterday because you were all fired up. Tell us a little bit about you collecting coats. And because a lot of people in the Treasure Valley, Jason, as you know, this is a great community. We're more inclined to hear about a stoplight or traffic or somebody shoveling off a football field than heavy crime.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a great place, and yet we may not think that, you know, there are families in need, and you ran across one.
Yeah, I did. I spoke out at Bruno Community Church and came home with about 20 bags, like literally lawn and leaf full of coats. They responded, wanted to help out. They anticipated a cold winter, wanted to help out the homeless. Well, my wife and I are driving home. The car's packed out. I mean, just the trunk, the back seat. My three-year-old in the back seat could hardly move because he had coats pressed up against the side of his face.
I'm sure he appreciated that, yes.
Well, we're teaching him young, you know, teaching him how to do good work.
Right.
So we pull up at the Rescue Missions Ministry Center warehouse, and, you know, we're unloading the coats. There is 4 people standing outside of their Chrysler, their old, like, 85 Chrysler, sifting through some donated clothing items. And I said, brothers, how are you, brothers and sisters?
I'm calling the cops?
No, I said, how are you?
See, this is why you're a nice man. Most of us, we would have called the cops.
Well, I asked what they were looking for. You know, they're there for a reason. People don't just come to the mission because they're, you know, out having fun or something.
Looking for a good time, right?
It's a last resort, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them, what are you guys doing here? What are you looking for? They said, well, coats. We think it's going to get cold soon. I said,
you're
oh,
right
my
about
gosh.
That.
You know, I just happened to look to my left, and I looked inside of their car. The front and back seats were packed with blankets and pillows. Four people were living in this little car. And I said, I have coats for you. People like you, Kevin Miller, move their feet so others can eat. Or in this case, you're moving your drumsticks.
Yeah, my feet don't move that much anymore.
You know, and it jerked on the heartstrings.
Can you talk about what you felt spiritually at that time?
Well, an immense sense of compassion, thinking, my gosh, everything that I have, golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done unto you.
Right
there. Hit me like a ton of bricks. And my wife and I and our three-year-old son are unloading 20 bags of coats thanks to this incredible and generous community. Your listeners are amazing.
They are characters, aren't they?
You said it best.
They are. So, Jason, if people would like to stop by, obviously, cash donations, other items, turkeys, but let's talk a little bit about the what's going to be happening with these turkeys and the meals, not only now but throughout the year. We always want to make sure that we hit it now, but certainly throughout the year as well.
You know, a good point. You know, with the turkey, we're talking about high-quality lean protein. I mean, Top Ramen doesn't cut it. Macaroni and cheese doesn't cut it. And when it comes to the holidays, I think of food, family, fun, and fellowship. But the meals, the turkey meals, if we can provide food for families, you know, here's what we're going to do with your turkeys. We're going to cook them and serve them at four upcoming holiday banquets. Families are signing up right now to get their holiday food box to prepare their own meal in their own homes with their own turkey meal. And we can stockpile the remaining turkeys and use them throughout the year. Did you know the rescue mission is currently serving almost 1,100 hot meals per day?
It's incredible.
365 days a year, three meals a day.
And certainly the most amazing part about that, my friend, is your source of revenue.
Huge.
Where is your source of revenue? It's just donations.
Just donations. We are community supported. Thank God we're not government funded. Just as Reverend Roscoe always says and reminds us, we live in the most generous community on the face of the earth with friends like you that really want to make a difference or really willing to step up.
Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Jason joining us once again from the Boise Rescue Mission. And Jason, the weather is cold outside. What happens for folks that don't have a place to go, that are living in their cars when the weather gets this bad?
You know, I think there's this crawling intensity of fear of people who are stuck in their cars, you know, with really no safety net, no family, no one to help them. Boise Rescue Mission wants to be that safe place of refuge for families in need.
And how do you do that?
You know, doors are always open. Let me put it this way. There's always room in the inn when it comes to the rescue mission, with a warm bed, with a hot meal, place to stay, counselors to talk to, programs available.
Okay. And if people would like to be involved in that, what can they do?
You know, I suggest they go to our website at www.boiserm.org, fill out the volunteer application, find out how they can get involved.
How were you led to this, Jason?
Say it again?
How were you led to this life?
You know what? You know, it's funny. My dad's side of the family, they're all pastors and missionaries. My mom's side of the family, they were all entrepreneurs and millionaires. And for years, I traveled around, gonna make the money. The dollar was the bottom line for me. When I moved to Boise, again in pursuit of that almighty dollar, I happened to meet Reverend Bill Roscoe at Boise Rescue Mission. I liked the guy. I liked what the Rescue Mission was doing, and boy, it's been outreach and ministry since. I meet great people like you in the community here.
580KIDO, our great friend Jason from the Boise Rescue Mission. Let's talk a little bit about the need during the holidays. And, of course, you've got to feed these folks. You've got to clothe them, get them jobs. That is tough.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Excuse me, a little slow on the cue. You know what? People are in need during this holiday season. And it's not only a hot meal. And I'll tell you the value of your turkeys and of what your listeners are providing. A turkey equals, about $10 or $20? Somebody could save that money, put that towards a power bill. to stay in their own homes, to keep the power and the heat on. And when people have full stomachs, they have full smiles. And when you have children that are receiving that high, lean quality protein, you know, it's really saving lives.
It is indeed. BoiseRM.org if you'd like more information. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Certainly we want to make sure that we take care of our friends. Why don't you stop by and help out the less fortunate? If you've had a good year, you've had a not-so-good year, we would love to see you here at 580 KIDO.
Thanks.
Now, the tough part for us is, for us, it's tough to hold a thought and to speak this time of the day. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be living in your car or not having a place to go or getting kicked out of the house and don't see us until 5 in the afternoon or 6 in the afternoon. Jason, if people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
You know, give us a call at the Ministry Center main office at 343-2389. Give us a call. Hey, I'd like a tour. I'd like to make a donation. My family would like to help out. Listen, we could use your help. We'll put you to work, and we appreciate your help.
Our great friend, Jason, at the Rescue Mission, BoiseRM.org. Thank you, Jason. We'll check in with you throughout the morning. And
thanks so much, Kevin. We appreciate you.
Thank you. As we continue on here, Kevin Miller in the morning. Time for traffic.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Stay up all night.
Up 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, collecting your turkeys. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for stopping by. I want to thank the man from the paintball situation for donating a couple of turkeys. We're joined now by our friend Emily Wither of Fox News Radio. And Emily, you live in a rough neighborhood, and we talk about this all the time. What's the initial reaction to these horrific attacks at the synagogue?
It's been a very difficult year here for Israelis and Palestinians, and this is just yet another incident in which they are literally fighting each other on the streets. And even though we have seen many attacks here, particularly in recent weeks, as tension continues to rise here in Jerusalem, this is certainly the most deadliest attack and the most brutal, really, that we have seen for some time. And I think the overwhelming word to use with how people are feeling, Jews living in this city, is shock. Because the attack on this synagogue happened in West Jerusalem, in a ultra-Orthodox neighborhood, so a very religious Jewish area, and in an area where there was not really any tension between Israelis and Palestinians. It wasn't a mixed neighborhood. It's not a politically contentious neighborhood. And this was just a group of worshippers who had gathered at 7 in the morning local time here to pray, to begin the day with prayer. And two Palestinian cousins stormed the synagogue, and they just hacked and slashed people to death with meat cleavers. We know that three American Jews are dead, one British national has been killed, and there are eight others that are injured. Some are in a serious condition. And the two attackers who carried out this really brutal incident not far from where I am now have also been killed following a police shootout between themselves and the police that were very quick to arrive on the scene.
Emily, this is an area that you live in that is used to attacks, used to rocket attacks, very, very tough folks. And yet here you have this attack that I don't, you know, even describe a frame of reference on how to deal with that.
I would say that I have been here for a number of years now, but I haven't witnessed the level of tension that I have until this year. And since June, really, the tension has just been steadily climbing. And what's changed in recent weeks is people living here are starting to feel afraid. And when people start to feel so afraid that they change their daily behavior, then we need to start worrying. Yes, there is always a risk of violence here, and there is always a little bit of tension. But people, for the most part, they just have the British stiff upper lip. And they get on with things, and they try to live here as best they can. But because there's been so many attacks in recent weeks, knife attacks, driving attacks, and now this vicious attack in a synagogue, people are starting to feel afraid about traveling on public transport, to walk down the street. The streets here in Jerusalem are noticeably quieter today. And I've heard both from Israelis and from Palestinians that they're afraid to send their kids to school in the morning. So there is definitely a lot of fear around here that there wasn't at the start of the year.
So on one hand, you would see that the enemies perhaps are succeeding. And you, again, as you talk about, you've got people coming out of tunnels. You've got people attacking people at the places of worship. Emily, pardon my ignorance, but this isn't supposed to happen in Israel because of just the how diligent the Israeli military and the Israeli people have become.
Yes and no. I mean, there are still Palestinians living in Jerusalem. They live side by side with Israelis. And while they manage to do so most of the time, there is always that underlying tension there. And I have to point out that this synagogue, maybe to some people's surprise listening to me, it wasn't defended in any way. There wasn't a guard stationed outside the door. It was pretty easy to get into it. And there may be some questions that follow this about whether security actually needs to be stepped up even more here. I think the reason people are so shocked about this particular attack is it's happened in an area where no one would have really suspected it. And there are reports that one of the Palestinian killers actually worked at a grocery store in the neighborhood just over the road. And so it's possible they were watching this synagogue for some time. They knew that there would be a lot of worshippers there at that time of the morning, and they knew that they would be able to go in without being stopped at the door, and that seems to be what's happened here.
580 KIDO, our friend Emily Wither joining us live from Jerusalem. You know, how do you react? I mean, what's the reaction of the Israeli government to this?
The Israeli government, under Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, has vowed a harsh response. And I think we're going to see an increase in security in this city. Yeah. But I also think we're going to see a serious crackdown on Palestinians living in Jerusalem that the Israelis think are linked to the recent violence here. And that could come in the form of blockades, home demolitions, so people's homes being destroyed if they are linked to attackers in any way, and also more arrests. Thousands of Palestinians have been arrested in recent weeks and are in Israeli jails for incidents as minor as stone throwing to as serious as throwing firebombs. So the Israeli police have already been cracking down on the violence here on the streets, but we could see that increase even further. I saw that the chief of police here in Israel has cancelled all vacation for any police officers working in the force. So that certainly indicates to me that we're going to start seeing a lot more security visibly on the streets.
Emily Wither, thank you.
Thanks.
580 KIDO. And let's go live to London. Our great friend Simon Owen joining us from Fox News Radio. Simon, good morning.
Hi, Kevin. Morning.
I don't know if the Pope is going to go to a Walmart when he comes to America, but it's pretty big news.
Well, you never know if he runs out of something or forgets to pack his luggage properly, but he's going to be in the States for a few days, we think. He's going to be attending a conference on family values in Philadelphia. He was invited to this a while ago, and now the Vatican confirming about 8 months on that it is going to accept that invitation, and he's going to spend some time in Philadelphia. He's expected to hold a papal mass while there as well. They reckon 1 million people could turn out for that in Philadelphia. Then it's likely to be expanded with possibly trips to the White House, maybe the United Nations in New York, maybe Congress, and there's also talk of potentially a trip to the Mexico border, but the whys and wherefores of that part are a bit more up in the air.
What does it entail for the Holy Father to take a trip? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of coordination, a lot of logistics, a lot of security.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just like you would get with President Obama, it's a serious undertaking, and that's why, I mean, things in the Vatican do tend to move quite slowly in terms of paperwork and agreements and that sort of thing, but it's why it takes 8 months for them to agree to this, because they need to make sure, because it's a big deal also committing him to making one of these trips, and they then want to make sure they can, you know, follow through on what they've committed to. So it is a big undertaking, and you know, you talk about holding a papal mass and just those figures of 1 million people turning out, and I suspect that figure is just a number they've put as a capacity limit that the authorities in Philadelphia could perhaps handle packing into one street. you know, this is something that you don't undertake lightly, because particularly in this Pope's case, he is popular, but really any Pope at all these days tends to get a big turnout, particularly in a country like the States.
Simon, the crazy thing about this is, with the growing threat of ISIS and everything else, this Pope is unlike any other. Sometimes he won't even get in the Pope mobile. He goes to the people.
Yeah, I mean, he's become popular among Catholics in the U.S., I think that's fair to say. Also, I think he's been a fairly appealing character to many people outside of the church. You know, right from the very start, the days after he was inaugurated, and even before, the days after he was selected, in fact, he was straight away giving this impression of being offering a very humble style of leadership, and following that through by rejecting the luxurious trappings that come with being Pope, the plush apartment and the limousine and that sort of thing, and instead traveling and living in much more ordinary circumstances, although still pretty comfortable, I think it's probably fair to say. So he struck a chord with a lot of people. He's also talked about building bridges, you know, welcome, saying who is he to turn his back on gay people or divorcees, that sort of thing. At the same time, we've not really seen any big changes to church doctrine, and he's really made it clear that that's not going to be happening anytime soon. So in the next couple of years, he's 20 months into this papacy now. It will be interesting to see whether people still go along with those lines of saying, yes, we like the way he's opening the church up to more people who felt excluded before, even if that doesn't follow through with changes to the church law or anything like that. Will he still maintain that popularity? As far as this trip and the mass and that sort of thing is concerned, there's certainly no worries in terms there, I wouldn't have thought.
Simon Owen joining us, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, talking about the pontiff's visit to America. You know, what does this mean for non-Catholics worldwide and those in America and the governments of both countries?
Well, I mean, for the government, it's a chance to be seen with a very popular figure. President Obama was in the Vatican, I think it was just a few months ago, earlier this year. He met with the Pope there, and I think it's a fair assumption to think that the White House has already issued an invitation to return the favor. I mean, what it means for non-Catholics, well, it means whatever it wants to for them. They can go and see this Pope if they want, or they can let it pass by. It's not going to affect the whole of the country if they don't want it to, but it will focus attention on this particular Pope when he arrives. There will be plenty of discussion about whether people like him or not and that sort of thing, and if you want to get involved in that, well, that's you know, that's your choice, isn't it?
Simon Owen joining us here at 580 KIDO. Do you think finally, Simon, that this is the start of a world tour for the Pope, perhaps America, perhaps Central America, maybe he'll you know, go to Canada?
Well, I think we can expect South America, because he's from Argentina, and that would be a big deal. He is everywhere in Buenos Aires. You know, his picture is all over the place, and he is huge down there. He's already been, though, to the Middle East. He's been to Albania. He's been to South Korea. He's been to Brazil, actually, already. And then other countries, too. He has been a bit of a globetrotter in the first 20 months that he's been in the job. If anything, increasingly, actually, as time has gone by. So I think we can expect him to continue with his travel commitments for as long as, you know, his health can hold up with the long-haul travel.
Simon, we always appreciate it. I wish you were here out in the Walmart collecting turkeys.
Sounds good.
Take care, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Simon Owen joining us from Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
Good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning here at the Garrity Walmart, collecting your donations of turkey, food, clothes. Do appreciate everybody that stopped by. We still have, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 more days to go. We've been blown away by the feedback so far. But, folks, as you're freezing, as you're getting up in the morning, think of those folks that don't have any, and we would love for you to donate some turkeys. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
And here we have it. You had a chance to come out yesterday and take a look at what's going on here. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I was impressed while I was there. There was about, I would say, four or five turkeys that were dropped off in the time I was there, the short time yesterday afternoon. And just thankful to those listeners, those coming by who did that. Had a chance to meet with some of your listeners out there. In fact, a neighbor of yours came, didn't trust me with the chili, wanted to take it right to you that provided chili for you last night.
Yes, that's Paula and Robin and Lisa. And actually, we're going to have that for breakfast because I'm so... As you know, so worried about blowing a fuse here in the great RV we have provided for us by Nelson's. Not that anything's wrong with the RV. It's just that with the temperatures, with the intricacies of the Walmart system here, you never know. So we're going to do that. And it just really shows you the kindness, Dave, that you've talked about for many years here in the Treasure Valley.
Yeah, I mean, you're at the Garrity Walmart, and they made their way in from the Netherlands to bring you, something to eat. So... That's just very kind. Very nice people. I had a chance to visit with them, and you're actually a pretty good neighbor, Kevin.
Well, they're still probably wondering why my sidewalk isn't cleared, but we'll get to that. Speaking of which, I know you were listening to the Wall Street Journal this morning. Can you believe what? Yesterday, every state in the union at one time was freezing or just crazy stuff.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's funny, and that's what everyone is talking about is the weather, even here in Idaho, how quickly it turned cold, and it really did. Talking with one of your listeners out there yesterday afternoon, I mean, just a couple weeks ago, is people still in shorts, and then, bam, the cold weather hit, which, okay, a shock for me, but I have my nice warm house, I have my nice warm work and my little place here, and just spending the couple of hours that I spent out there yesterday where you are right now, it's cold, and for those who actually live and try to survive in it, it's tough.
Well, you heard the story from Jason there where you have people living in their cars.
Yep.
And we're not talking about just one person. We're talking about families.
Yeah, you know, it's always difficult. And I know I see it here at the radio station once in a while. We have a great big parking lot right next to us. And every once in a while when I come in early in the morning, off in the corner there'll be a car parked. And the way the windows are kind of, you know, steamed up on it, it's going, somebody's staying there, and they just tried to find a place to park their car to sleep overnight. So, you see that on a somewhat regular basis out there, that there's more than we know who are living that way.
Well, and you know, here we go, and somebody maybe will call us socialists or something, but, you know, that great disparity of wealth, you know, you have people that... And I have to tell you, you know, you watch these shows with their mansions and their cars, and God bless them for achieving. And then you have people with the same DNA that are struggling, that are looking for food, that are looking for a shelter, that are happy to have a cot.
I think there's a, you know, there is a personal responsibility. I think I I'm no Bible scholar, but I do know that, you know, of those who much is given, much is required. And I think those who are blessed... that there is a requirement to give back. And again, it all comes in proportion. For what I could give, much different than what LeBron James could give, for example. But still, there is that care that's required that, you know, I'm going to give of what I have to you to help out. And I think that as people, and, you know, it has nothing to do with socialism, just as people, I think it's our responsibility to reach out and help other people.
Indeed, and that's why we're here benefiting the Boise Rescue Mission, donating turkeys and other things. But here's something when we're talking about just being grateful. Here, you have this guy, looking at our friends from Channel 7, you've got a 53-year-old that spent six brutal days in the snow, hiking through, you know, the terrain and everything else, and, you know, he's grateful that he's been found, thankfully.
That interesting story. And I have been lost hunting before, up in, you know, sub-zero temperatures, where lost in the sense of, you know, there weren't search crews out, but lost in the sense of, where am I at? Okay, I got to keep my head about me to get back. I can't imagine being, you know, several days out and trying to figure out how am I getting back. That's got to be a panic.
Well, and that, and just to be able to survive in the temperatures where we're at. And, you know, it really hits home, and we urge people to go to the Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, to the Boise Rescue Mission, wherever you feel comfortable giving. You know, and I always am amazed by people that we profile, and we'll be working on getting people that, as you and I talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. that have been through the program and seeing the changes. And again, not to be a Bible thumper, but, you know, you talk about God's work right in front of you. It's amazing. People that are broken, people that are this, and then all of a sudden, there they are helping others that that was just a footnote or a pipe dream years before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the bottom line is bad things happen. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. We do dumb things. It's self-inflicted on ourselves. But sometimes bad things happen, and people have to reach out to help other people to get a leg back up and going. And that's, you know, you mentioned, you know, the different charities. There are so many great charities here in the Treasure Valley. It's difficult to try to help everyone, but, you know, like you said, if you're more comfortable giving to a different charity than the others, just more than anything, give of yourself, your money, and your time.
Indeed, and certainly stay warm this morning. Now, do you believe that the cold front will be broken where it gets up to the balmy 20s or 30s tomorrow? Are you a believer?
Well, you know, I want to. I really want to believe that. That'd be fantastic just to get back up. But, you know, what they're saying, Larry Gabbert's saying, we could see some freezing rain or snow tomorrow morning, and it could begin to break it down. So I want to believe.
Well, the freezing rain, you know, as I said, you and I were talking about this last week. Well, thank goodness you weren't out here during the big snow. I said, no, that makes for a better story. However, that would be pretty good tomorrow if it's raining, freezing rain during the morning show.
Yeah, it may happen. We'll find out. Larry will update us here in a little bit, so we will find out.
So we've got that going on. We have the fallout over the state broadband ruling. Tom Luna, one of his final acts, saying it's not going to hurt and students won't suffer from a judge's ruling tossing out a contract that brought distance learning and dual credit classes to high schools via the high-speed internet. He talked to the editorial board yesterday. What do you make of this and the percolating alleged scandals that seem to be ruminating lately?
Well, you know, is it the good old boys network? Is it not? Is it good intentions, but just, you know, bad things happen? I don't totally have an answer. I don't know that I'm comfortable giving an answer yet, but it's definitely on the front burner.
Well, here's some of the details. You've got 4th District Judge Patrick Owen. Earlier this month declared the $60 million contract illegal because a month after it was approved, the state removed Syringa Networks from the contract and gave all the project's technical work to Quest, now CenturyLink. Syringa Networks, sued in 2009 alleging the state had removed Syringa illegally. And then you talk about the rural schools could be among the worst affected. You would expect more from public officials, and we're not saying anybody's guilty or what, but when the judge says it's illegal, and you had a lot of people saying, why didn't we stay in state? And once again, we have the challenges involving getting kids educated.
Yeah, I always look for all services, and I thought for most of them, I go back to my wife worked for a public, I guess it was a regional, a county entity at one time, and they were required to make sure that, you know, the first thing they did was, can we do it in state? Secondly, if we can't do it in state, can we do it with U.S. products? And if we can't do that, then you can go outside. But I like that philosophy of keeping it home if you can.
Right, especially when you take a look at the state of Idaho. We're not Texas when it comes to natural resources.
No.
Although, you know, the fracking debate will continue back and forth. But, you know, why not do it with the folks here? So apparently, we're going to lose a $500,000 a month federal communications grant or whatever since early 2013 to pay for the network because of questions of its legality. So there goes more money out the window.
Yeah. Speaking of fracking, you've been to Spartanburg, South Carolina?
Oh, Greenville. You know what they call that? And this is you'll like this.
I've never been there.
Okay. There's an inside joke, but I can't say it anymore. But anyway, South Carolina is a very strange state. It's very small geographically, but they have three sections, the Midlands, the Upstates, and the Low Country. The Low Country is the beach area. The Midlands is like Columbia, for lack of a better thing. Charleston is the Midland or the Low Country. And the Upstate is the Greenville-Spartanburg area, about 60, 80 miles outside of Charlotte.
Well, you know why Spartanburg is on my radar this morning?
Mm-mm.
South Carolina, cheapest gas in the country. $2.61 a gallon in South Carolina. Spartansburg at the Costco in Spartansburg, you can get it for $2.39 a gallon.
I'd have to say probably the most, if not number one, number two, socially conservative people I've ever met in my entire life
in Spartansburg, South Carolina. Yeah, I have. That's a state I've never been to. By the way, here in Idaho, $3.13 a gallon is our average right now.
Now, I do have to talk to you a little bit about that SEC bias in the college football thing.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
What
Alabama being number one.
Well, you know.
Order has been restored.
the world is right with Kevin Miller. Reputation plays a big part in it. I mean, let's be honest. They won a number of national championships. The same head coach and the same programs in place. I think reputation jumps them to number one. I'm sure, those who are on the West Coast are going to go, hey, there's an East Coast and a Southern bias. But you know what? Here's the deal. Put the four best teams in, or what's deemed the four best, and let them fight it out. See what happens. I like that. I like the fact that there is the opportunity there for four teams to fight it out. But
I just like it that I'm a massive front runner because my two teams are 1-2.
Well, we'll see. There's two more weeks in the college season to go, Kevin. We'll find out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Alabama with Auburn and the SEC championship. I think that's going to be a tough road to hoe for them. So yeah. I don't think they're out of the woods yet.
Well, I mean, if they get past and they win those two, then you know what? Maybe they deserve that number one spot, and then let them fight it out.
What about Marshall? They're still not in. They're still considering Marshall as one of the teams with Boise State and a few others.
Yeah, Marshall is fighting the Boise State syndrome in that everybody's going, you haven't played anyone. So being undefeated, they're getting that you have not played anyone syndrome. We'll see. Boise State fans hoping that Marshall loses and chokes here in the next couple weeks. So we'll see.
And you believe that Boise State will be in then?
I don't. You know what? They've got to get past Wyoming. Maybe tougher than we think.
Well, they've got that new coach from North Dakota State there.
Yep, they do. This guy's won national championships, for crying out loud. I mean, he's got it put together, and you're going to be at 21-degree weather with the wind blowing. They got to get past there. So if they get past there, we'll see. I got to do this. Your traffic now, Kevin.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station. Serving Meridian.